In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. This is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. So glad you could join us today. We are in the middle of an amazing study in the book of Exodus. And today we're picking up at Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. Let me read that verse for you. So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt, and see whether they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Now this is an amazing transition. As you recall from our last time together, Moses essentially gave five excuses to God on why he should not be the man to do this mission. And by the end, God made it pretty clear, sorry, good excuses, not accepted, you're going anyway. And it's just a good reminder that God's will is not something to be ignored or thwarted in your life. You know, Moses appears to submit to God's will earlier, but we see the excuses that come out of him showing that he's really not that interested in all these responsibilities. But it's important to stress that this is God's plan, not Moses. God is the one who's going to call Israel out of Egypt. Moses is merely the mouthpiece. The origin of this call is with God and not of man. And that's just a great reminder for each of us. Be sure your calling is from God and His Word and not from a mere man with pride, with an agenda, or worldly advice seeking to build their kingdom and use you for their plans. This happens to a lot of Christians. I remember going to a church and someone says, "Oh, you don't need to go to seminary. I'll teach you everything I need to know." And it turned out later that individual had fallen, had great sin in their life. And that could have been a disaster for me had I followed that man and followed his calling for me. But if your calling is from God and you are certain of that, you'll see some fruit. You'll see God affirming that and gifting you that and blessing that. So let's return back to Moses and see how this calling from God begins to unfold. Really, this is Moses' first step of obedience. He proceeds with humility, respect, and seeks permission and blessing. Now, think about the family dynamic here. He has been serving his father-in-law for 40 years. This father-in-law, Jethro, invited him into his home after he rescued his daughters from those other men at the well. Then Jethro gives him one of his daughters. Moses has a family. He's been serving Jethro for 40 years, and now he's going to take his wife and his sons, who are Jethro's daughter and grandchildren, and take them away after 40 years. That is a difficult task. And this really is a double request. It's leave the family farm and take away his daughter. Contrast this with Jacob and the poor relationship with his father-in-law, Laban. Do you remember what happened there? He just basically snuck out, and there was no chance for a formal goodbye. Now, of course, the relationship between Laban and Jacob was not a good relationship. Now, the text leaves out a lot of details that may or may not have been shared between Moses and Jethro. For example, Moses' experience meeting God, the deliverance of God's people. None of that is mentioned in this text. The text does imply that Moses did limit some of the details. The reasons for this are not certain, but since Jethro is a pagan at this time, not a believer in Yahweh, it may merely have been to keep the conversation limited in its spiritual implications. When Moses speaks to Aaron in a few verses later, starting in verse 28, he does not hold back any details. So it's kind of fascinating how Moses has this amazing experience with God, and then when it comes time to share the story, he limits the details with Jethro, but he expands on the details with his brother. And that just shows you wisdom, I think, on behalf of Moses. Now, there's this phrase in the text, "see whether they are still alive." This is a Hebrew idiom, which means, What's the welfare of your people? They knew that they were still alive, but it's an expression to say, how are they really doing? Now, this is going to be a significant loss to Jethro since he only had 7 daughters. Imagine this male Moses, who's the strong arm and hand and laborer in the fields, is being removed. That's going to be a big loss to Jethro. However, 2 passages do mention a possible son who at this time would be very young or born later. And maybe this is the graciousness of God in perfect timing, that Moses knows his departure would be a hardship for Jethro. But there on the wings is a son of Jethro who can take over the family business. Numbers 10:29 says, "Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel the Midianite," that's Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, "we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you. Come with us and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel.'" Judges 4:11 tells us this, "Now Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zanim, which is besides Kadesh." So these 2 verses pretty much confirm that at some point Jethro did have a son. Now, what's really spectacular to see here is Jethro's response. He says, "Go," which is in Hebrew a command, "go in peace." This is emphatic. That word peace is the word shalom. Go with the blessing of God. And "let me go," Moses experiences, in a sense, a practice run with Jethro, "let me go," to where he's going to go to Pharaoh, also a person in authority, "let my people go." So in a way, God is just beginning to help Moses understand what it's like to make such a request with those in a higher authority. Now let's come to verse 19, where we're going to address some genuine fears. "Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, 'Go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead.'" This text is located between his father-in-law, wife and kids, and the content of the text. Implies that Moses was anxious and fearful. Think about this. The Lord says to Moses, "Go, return to Egypt. All the men who sought your life are dead." So certainly as Moses is preparing to go back to Egypt, he's thinking about, you know, "I did kill this Egyptian. Pharaoh wanted my head. The Israelites rejected me as their leader. Even after 40 years, those sins are not forgotten." And so it's neat to see how God comes along graciously to comfort Moses. And since God is all-knowing, he's omniscient, he knows one's deepest fears and concerns. God knows your deepest concerns and fears. And God addresses these fears with the simple fact, "Hey, Moses, there's none left to accuse." For us, we have the promise that wherever we go, God is with us. We have his Spirit. And that if he's called us to do something, we can trust him that this is his calling for our life. And whatever the outcome is, it is the best thing for us, and it will bring glory to God. As Romans 8 says, "All things work together for our good and God's glory." Now, the fact that Moses was not sharing his doubts and fears candidly with the Lord reveals the spiritual immaturity of Moses at this point. How about you? How are you communicating with God in prayer? What secrets or sins have you failed to confess to the Lord? And think about this. Is it really a secret before the all-knowing, omniscient God of the universe? It's not. Do you see how that unwillingness, that pridefulness on behalf of Moses hurt his ministry? And how that can hurt your ministry? When you don't come to grips with your fears, you can't grow. You can't take that next step of obedience, and you will miss out on opportunities to serve God and blessings to be rewarded for. You know, if you ever look at anyone who's overcome a lot in their life, aren't you encouraged by their courage? Aren't you inspired by the sacrifices they made and the obstacles they overcame? If you talk to any of them, they'll tell you, "I had to face my fears," either willingly or unwillingly, but they persevered. And this is a huge lesson for us, and God does not want Moses to fail. And in order for Moses not to fail, he's going to have to face his fears. How about you? What is hindering you in your walk today? What secrets are you holding on to? What fears are you unwilling to share before the Lord? Now let's go to verse 20 and let's talk about the family, because we've looked at the parent relationship, the father-in-law, Jethro. What about his wife, Zipporah? What about their kids? What do you say to them? How does this experience work during this event? Verse 20, then Moses took his wife and his sons, notice it's plural, and sent them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Now we see the word sons, plural. We know from Exodus 2:22, he names his first son Gershom, which means I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And we know in Exodus 18:4, the God of my father was my help. This is Eleazar. His name meant the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. So that's the names of the two sons, and there's clearly here going with his wife Zipporah to Egypt. Let's talk about family for a moment. Ministry can be hard on the family of a pastor, of a minister, but it is an important aspect of ministry. Being married gives you insights into family life. It gives you insights to theological understanding of God's truths, because many truths are connected to the family environment. And how can you shepherd people if you haven't experienced it? Now, it's true. You can give people wisdom, though, from the scriptures if you've never actually lived it. But it sure comes in handy when you are someone who has experienced it. I was saved out of drugs and alcohol, and when I speak to someone who's in the struggles and bondage of alcoholism, they listen to me because they know I've been there. But let me stress, you don't have to experience it in order to be faithful witness. You can share the scriptures because the power is not in your experience. The power is in God's word. Your experience gives you empathy and identification, but it doesn't hold any power. The power is in the gospel and in God's word. Now, 1 Timothy 3:2 reminds us, for the New Testament church, a bishop or an elder then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For it is a man who does not know how to rule his house, how will he take care of the church of God? This is just one example of why family is important and running your family well if you're going to shepherd a flock. We're out of time for today, but we will come back to this passage in our next session together. But as you contemplate the truths from this passage, be faithful to God's calling. Make sure you're confessing your secrets, confessing your sins, acknowledging your fears to God, and then with His help, face them so that you can fulfill your calling, whatever it may be. And remember, it starts off with a little, faithful in much. Well, thanks so much for joining us. If you're interested in today's show notes, email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. Until then, stay faithful to God's word and His calling in your life.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.